Well, let's see if we can make this work. It is the news, according to me. Oh, hey, good. What is this? Wednesday? No, Thursday. This is Thursday already. Is this Thursday? This is Thursday. Wednesday was trash day. This is Thursday, May 30th. One more day left in this, 2 days, or 2.5 days left in this month. It is 12:38 Central Time, and I am in Little Rock, Arkansas, Arkansas, as some would call it, this morning, this afternoon, whatever this is. I've been waiting around to see if anything would happen with the Trump trial. I didn't want to have a really early show today. I wanted to have an early show. I was hoping that they would just, you know, acquit the guy and be done. That's not going to happen. I'm pretty sure that what we're about to see here is probably going to be more of a hung jury. Now, what this crazy judge has done, and I've heard so many things about how they I don't know. I don't know what they're planning on doing with how they're going to appeal, if there's any appeal to this or anything. I don't know how that goes. I'm not a lawyer, not a doctor, not a financial counselor or a epidemiologist. I'm not any kind of physician. I am the doctor of opinion. That's what I am. I don't have a doctorate in opinion. I just have my own doctorate in my own opinion. And what I'm thinking that they're going to do, and the way I understand it, is what this judge has done is basically left it open-ended to the jury of any charge that they happen to want to, here's five charges, and you're welcome to, do whatever you want with these charges. If three jurors find them guilty on one particular charge, and there's, I think it's open-ended to any law for that. I think they can just make up stuff if they want to at this point, the way it sounds. It's ridiculous. So if three jurors come up with, a charge of whatever, and three other jurors come up with a thing of whatever, and three other jurors come up with something of this totally different law, they all find him guilty, then all of them apply. If only one of them finds him not guilty on all of the possible charges, that's a hung jury. Now, the guess is here that the judge is going to instruct them once again to send them back if they end up with a hung jury. If somebody, he's going to basically give them instruction and change the rules and then send them back to deliberate again. It's punishment. That's what it is. It's coercion. It's manipulation. It's all kinds of weird things. Now, the more I'm finding out about this whole judge, this judge, whatever his name is, the more I'm finding out about this guy, the more I realize how corrupt this whole situation has been. My understanding this morning, there was a lawyer on the Trump defense that was talking to, I believe, Stephen Gardner. And this morning he's being interviewed, last night or this morning, I listened to the video this morning. I think it was live last night, actually. And he's being interviewed, and he was talking about how this judge has been picked at, quote, random. They just, drew straws, basically drew lots. It's supposed to be a random pick for a judge here. They're not supposed to pick a specific judge for this case. Well, this judge, out of 15,000 judges, this judge has been picked in three different trials concerning Trump and Trump's staff. What are the odds? Well, one in 15,000. When you go to three of them, winning the judgeship presiding over three different cases, the odds of getting all three, it's not 45,000 to one. It's about 450 million to one. It's like winning the lottery in three different states on the same day. It's just the ridiculousness of this is just astronomical. And of course, they're not, you know, I'm sure that the folks who are on the jury don't get to hear any of this stuff. The fact that the judge allowed, and I can't believe that there was an objection to it, of course, but what do they call it? It's not sustained. If it's whatever they call it, it's not allowed. The when there's an objection, you have two options. Of course, this is obviously where I'm not a lawyer. I've watched Matlock and so they allowed this stuff in court where the prosecutor pretended to be reenacted a phone call that never happened. He made it up. He made up this whole scenario because of the sake of, he wanted to find out for the sake of time. I guess Michael Cohen was on the phone with somebody from the Trump security team or somebody in his team for 96 seconds, a minute and a half, basically. And he talked to one of his security guards. And in the process of talking to a security guard, then he ended up talking to, he said, put Trump on the phone. So Trump, I guess he just, takes orders from Cohen. And he puts Trump on the phone, and they had this conversation about the Stormy Daniels issue. Now, he claims that this whole thing happened within 96 seconds of a phone call. And of course, now the defense is saying that they couldn't possibly have any kind of substantive phone, conversation in 96 seconds. Minute and a half. Which I totally agree. You can't get any kind of details. You can't tell a side of the story. You can't do anything. There's no way. Now, but what this prosecutor did was he laid out this little scenario where they had this quick conversation, and he basically put him right through. He talked to the security guy, and then he spent 5 seconds talking to him, and then went on to talk to Trump. The whole conversation took 46 seconds or 45 seconds, about that. And they said, see, we got it all taken care of in 45 seconds. Well, first of all, Michael Cohen is not that articulate. You can't explain something to someone in a way that they get it. There's not going to be any questions. It's just, here's the statement. You're done. Conversation's over. 96 seconds. And in the process of doing so, he injected this idea that that's how the conversation went without any factual basis of anything about the phone conversation. He made it sound like he was reenacting the phone conversation, much like what Schiff. I can't think of his first name. The guy who was censored in Congress because of his ridiculous actions. He ended up doing this thing where he reenacted the phone call with Zelensky in Ukraine, where Trump supposedly was asking for Zelensky to do some kind of investigation into the prosecutor. In fact, the prosecutor was fired and all that stuff that was going on with Biden. He was asking for them to do an investigation over there, find out what was going on. So they impeached him over that, by the way. And of course, Adam Schiff is his name. He comes up with this phony phone call this is the way it's going to go. See, if you don't give me this, he talked like a gangster and made it sound like he was reenacting the phone call. And then afterwards, he says, oh, no, it was all satire. It was all just paraphrasing. He never said that. He read it as if it was a quote from the phone call. Guys, that's the kind of slimy, ridiculous crap that goes on the floor of our hallowed walls of Congress. Our temple of democracy, as Nancy Pelosi would call it. It's like getting up in church and reading some kind of blasphemous book. It's just, there's no difference there. Have Nancy do that at her little Catholic church. Oh, that's right, they don't allow her there. So she's not allowed to take communion anymore because she's her stand on abortion. Well, or she doesn't care. She thinks she's bigger. She's tougher than the Pope. She's bigger than them. I don't have any. I'm going to get into the opinions of the Catholic Church, but that's a whole other story. Now, hopefully this recording works. I should have probably backed it up with a phone recording because last time I tried to record with this particular machine, I should have tested this. I went to push the stop button, and guess what happened? The whole thing disappeared. It all went away. So we'll find out here what happens with this, I guess, in a little bit. So I have not heard anything up to this point on what's happening with the with that. But there is other news. There is other news. The other news is I have no cup this morning. All I have is water here. That's all I've got. I have no cup. I am going to go get a cup here in a little bit, though, however. I'm going to take a little walk here for lunch. I'm going to go down to a Chick-fil-A that's just about a mile away. Nice little walk. And I'm going to get myself some sweet tea. I will have sweet tea probably the rest of this trip because I'm going to be getting sweet tea tomorrow as well. Tomorrow I'm going to be in Monroe, Louisiana tomorrow morning. The show is going to be pretty early tomorrow morning, and I'm assuming by then we'll have some kind of news on what's going on with the jury. The longer they deliberate, the more the possibility that there is that he's not, that they're not going to find him. There's somebody holding out. My guess is there's going to be probably two or three that hold out on the idea that they're going to convict this guy. Too much goofiness going on with this whole trial. There's obviously some people who have extreme, you know, Trump derangement syndrome involved in the jury. There's all kinds of nefarious things happening behind the scenes in this whole process, and I wouldn't be surprised that there are operatives within that jury. So don't be surprised. I wouldn't even be surprised if they convict the guy, but I wouldn't really be surprised. Now, the crime they're getting him on is this weaseled up charge of how he used funds from one thing to cover up things on his books in order to cover up another crime, which was the misappropriation of campaign finance funds, which every other Democrat that's ever done that has just been fined. This is, and of course, even Mika on Morning Joe, she's even uncomfortable with the fact that the Trump Biden campaign, the DNC, the Democrat campaign, went down there to this area, and because that's where De Niro was. He was right there. They were putting on this whole charade, talking about January 6th and everything else that had nothing to do with this case. And just talking about how terrible this person was, how terrible this guy is. Just trying to sway public opinion, and of course, trying to sway the jurors as well, because you know they're going to hear about this stuff. So it's just the bizarreness of this whole thing. And the fact that they would pull De Niro out, and of course, everybody's one of the things that I listened to a little bit of a clip of Gutfeld, of course, and Tyrus. He said, this guy's a tremendous actor. You know, he's in top films and top films of all time. And who knew that he was such a bad improv actor? I don't think he wrote the speech. Now, they were saying that he wrote his own speech because he was sitting there trying to read off of this paper. And he was trying to read the script off this paper. Now, what he actually, my understanding is that someone else wrote all the scripts that everybody said. Now, the two officers, the one was a Metropolitan officer, and the other one was a Capitol Police officer. None of them wrote their own scripts. It all passed through the hands of someone else from the Biden campaign. Biden administration. So they weren't just making these statements on their own. Interesting stuff. So now at the same time, there's also a lot of rhetoric now. Funny that people are picking up on this thing that I talked about, actually. Maybe they're listening to my show. A lot of big names now are talking about the weirdness of this whole, there's a lot of speculation about the idea that DNC is actually out there trying to do this virtual nomination of Joe Biden. One of the theories, and I didn't think about this. One of the theories is that the people may turn on Joe at the DNC, and they may try to stick another candidate in there, and take over the DNC. That could happen. this is a good possibility, folks. Now, I don't know who they might think is behind that. Folks, don't discount the Clinton machine behind this whole thing. Hillary Clinton is still out there talking, making comments, running a circuit, supposedly writing books, having books written for her. These people who can't write, apparently, they all just have ghostwriters. I'm writing a book. It's my book. I'm writing it. I was tempted to get a ghostwriter. I am not doing that. And of course, it's taking forever. And I'm not that busy of a guy. I'm just that lazy of a guy. I'm not disciplined enough to get it done. And that is something I'm going to change here, starting actually June 1st. There is going to be something on my schedule every day to take the time to write for 1 hour every day. Not necessarily writing, but just that's the time set aside that I will be spending in front of my computer to write a book. So I'm writing one at a time, not writing two now. I had three books on the hopper. Two of them I was trying to do at the same time. Yeah, so I'm writing this book about it's going to be a lot shorter. I got to get it out there. I can always do version two. I can always do the update later on with more details. But this first one's got to be done. It's just got to get done. Got to get out there. So this whole thing about them doing this virtually nominating Joe so that they don't have to have a convention, so that when they show up at the convention, he's already the nominee, officially the nominee. They're coming through. I'm sure they're combing through their rules on this whole thing and trying to make this work. Now, what they're not showing us or what they're not telling us behind the scenes here, there are a lot of factions pushing to get Joe out. There are a lot of other people that want to be in there. And just like what happened with the Republican Party, it was a lot more overt. They were literally taking ads out trying to draft Ron DeSantis into being the nominee. And of course, that wasn't working because he fell for it. He was swayed by these people in the establishment to go along with this idea. And of course, that didn't work out too well for him. Now, having said all of that, I'm going to keep this kind of short, mostly because I'm thirsty for sweet tea. But I really do want to say that no matter what happens with this situation, even if they do convict Trump and they try to throw him in jail, whatever they try to, what kind of punishment they try to do with this guy, It is going to fail miserably. I mean, they've already failed this whole thing miserably. If he's found acquitted, I think if they end up not being able to convict him, getting on conviction, it will be seen as a victory for Trump, and his base is going to be that much more energized. If they do try to put him in jail and convict him, you're going to see an inflamed base on the Trump side, and you're going to see a lot more people. I think a lot of independents are going to be mad about the situation. I think a lot of people are taking this they see it as what it is. They see it as a they're calling it lawfare, a weaponized justice system. That's what they see here. I totally believe that people are going to, the backlash is going to happen very badly on them. And I think that the other thing that this does to them is that the people who would be motivated to go out and vote for Trump, for Biden, I think are just not going to go out and vote. Just going to see it for what it is. The normal average everyday person who's an independent or considers themselves leaning left is not going to vote for the guy. Now, having said all that, that doesn't mean that they won't. But I think the motivation to vote is going to be really slumping on the other side at this point. That's my theory. Now, we've got several months until the election, and who knows what's going to happen between now and then and how people will be motivated one way or the other. It's hard to tell. But they are getting more, the rhetoric is ramping up that we have to keep this guy from winning this election. Think about that. That blows my mind when they say that kind of thing, because it's like, okay, so, and all their rhetoric, all their campaign slogan is, the boogeyman's coming to get us. It's all negative about Trump. Well, we can't allow him, no matter what. Even Biden's even better than him. But, Biden, you may not like Biden, but he's better than Trump. Trump's going to destroy our democracy, our economy. He's going to destroy everything. He's going to destroy the world. That's literally what they're saying. He's going to destroy the world. And, okay, well, why don't you just have a candidate? Why don't you run a candidate? or tell us why. You know, well, we just have to get out there and tell the people what, you know, what Joe Biden has done for them. We have to make the people understand what Joe Biden has done for them. Oh, what has he done for us? You know, people, they're saying, you know, and of course, wages have not kept up with inflation at all. So that was the one thing about, you know, 4 years ago, I was noticing that, you know, you give somebody a dollar tip, it meant something. It doesn't mean anything now. Dollars, not, I feel bad giving somebody a dollar tip. I feel like I need to give people $5 tips now because it's just not enough. People who are waiting tables and driving vans and, you know, carrying my bags, $5 is, that's something. A dollar is nothing. A dollar per bag, whatever it is that you're giving them. The dollar tip thing is, the dollar bill is just about, it's like handing somebody a quarter 4 years ago. So I just don't know anymore. And I think if we get our energy prices down, if things get in line, you know, after Trump gets in, if we have that possibility happening, now I think that they're going to throw everything at this guy, and that even includes violence. In my opinion, I don't know how it's going to play out. Think of this: he's got to stay alive until January of next year. And I guess there's a lot of squabbling going on, you know, now between the FBI and the Secret Service and everything else. And, you know, you have to wonder what's happening there politically and how politically charged these people are becoming. And I don't trust the people at the top of the organizations. I trust the guys for the most part, as I would any individual. But so it's just a crazy, crazy time, folks. It's really nutty, crazy time. So in the meantime, as we put a close to this particular podcast, just first of all, keep your hope up that there's, you know, that you see a lot of these things that happen, or there are a lot of details that just keep happening. And whenever I see those little things that take place, it reminds me that God is in the details. He's got all these things happening behind the scenes. He's not being caught unaware. He's not being. Now, we have to be prayerful. We have to be involved, informed, understanding in this whole process. But I think that we really need to understand is that God is still on the throne, and he's still going to be on the throne. So, folks, God bless. Have a great rest of your week, rest of your day. I hope we'll be here tomorrow. Take care.